interrupting the current neo-colonial cricketism. Yes, it's not over, folks. You may think it's over, but it's not over. To bring you Behind the Woodshed, the Cricketude Busting episode. Here in today is BTWRLM430. Continuing, remember those numbers are by the week. That's how many weeks on top of 150 that I've been with RLM, which is kind of cool. And again, thank you, Grimner, for what you do and keeping the thing running, and hope everything works out for you. Interesting news today. I'm going to jump a little quickly onto something else, and then we'll get back to the normal things that I, again, this issue that we have, that we've been living under, or people have been living with, really is the pivot point. It's the fulcrum. It's the ability that we have to really, anybody who had an idea about being free, being able to be a people that have freedom in the context that most people think it is, not the domain of free, as in a range of freedom declared by the frame put around you, the prison. Those of you that wanted to tear down the walls or think you should have or should have been, shouldn't be living this way. No, you're living this way for a reason, and it's all traceable and trackable for decades, hundreds, centuries. And we have the opportunity right here to change it. And I'm just dismayed that people are not choosing not to. Just to watch, to sit it out. There's nothing to sit out. You're going to be sitting it out until you're gone because this thing is on us. But things that kind of inspire me, and just whether or not it'll ever mean anything to me is kind of irrelevant. Just the idea that there's people out there that are really super skillful and talented and get things done. And whether or not I believe anything would come of this for most people in the world, and it is the elite that are doing this, it does show that where we might be able to focus our energy instead of having billions destroy trillions of value in life, as we see through this, what do you call this, organized criminal syndicate that's destroying the world through the color of a communicable disease epidemic. All fabricated. We've got more information later about that. But today, apparently, or this morning, from the Southwest Regional Spaceport in Jornada del Muerto Desert, just about north of Las Cruces, New Mexico. Maybe you saw it go up, Grimner. Just south or so east of Truth or Consequences. So the truth or the consequences is somebody launched themselves in a commercial aircraft and got themselves into space. Richard Branson and his Virgin Galactic crew blasted the edge of space, the various edges of space, from New Mexico on Sunday, fulfilling a 17-year ambition for the British billionaire and opening the latest chapter in commercial space tourism. If you didn't think they were, everyone was flush with cash, folks. You too can get up into and be weightless for a few minutes. The rocket plane called Spaceship 2 took off from Spaceport America about 180 miles south of Albuquerque with two pilots and four people in the cabin. One was Richard Branson himself, his own airplane. Pretty neat. Just the technology. I guess I want a shout out. He's retired now, I understand, quite a few years. Bert Rutan was the inspiration for all this. His unique aviation designs for all his life and maybe even beyond, as he sits on these on one of the boards for the aircraft. Instrumental. In one guy, instrumental. Well, with his crew and his people. But, I mean, the inspiration from one guy was built the ability for us to go into space a bit. And there's a whole other thing. There's commerce behind this. Paul Allen's to... If you have any idea about aviation and you enjoy it or you like to see it, man can fly 100 years, folks. Look what they've done in 100 years. Look where we could go. People, mankind could go if we stopped letting these progressive mentalities, these communistic mentalities, rule over us and take up our time. And then the commerce that's going on to destroy lots of that through this coronavirus bioweapon, for whatever means underneath all that. And it's not disputed, I don't think, anymore, unless you're just not paying attention or don't want to spend the time to read it. That's what's going on here. But here we have a rocket, an airplane, a regular airplane, launching a rocket that gets a bunch of people up into space. They're going to turn into a commercial enterprise, I guess. I'll never see it. The mothership took the ship called the VSS Unity, which now we start seeing the globalist connection to all this thing, which is a down, it's a downturn for me to see. But here's the promotion. Getting back to the better parts of this. an interesting way to get us into space, the very minimalist of space. I'm still waiting for the reports from the Flat Earth Society people looking for the debris field that the spaceship clanked off the glass sky. I'm waiting for the pieces to be shown to us. But at any rate, back to this. Interesting. The guy gets in his own airplane. Lots of people behind it. An interesting technology. Interesting airplanes that the Burt Rutan designed. That he wasn't really he didn't finish this last ship. He was the inspiration for it. In fact, the ship that the mothership, they so called, and the lead, the subtitle of this was that they launched the mothership went 50 miles in the air to launch this thing. People aren't paying attention anymore to what they write. It went 50,000 feet to launch the rocket, and the rocket went 50 miles to get us. And that was the minimalist they could get. I thought it was about 62 miles before you start getting into weightless. And that's all they got into. Then the Burt Rutan little spaceship feathers like a dart, and it falls right back into the atmosphere and glides into where it needs to glide. Very, very interesting stuff. But kind of exciting in a way, but also, what am I going to do with it? I also found, maybe a little bit of a dismay. How much money did they pay in order to get the COVID regulations off that they could put all these people in that tight capsule without spreading COVID, and all these people working together to get it done beforehand? How'd they keep those all happening? Has to show you that there's really not much behind the COVID. There's not much of any of it. It's all a ruse for you. Branson wasn't going to have his money stopped by this, and apparently it didn't. He beats out Bezos, which used to be the CEO of the Amazon. And Bezos is going up in a few days in his ship. So commercial space is here. And Paul Allen, who invested in the first Starship, I think it was the Starship, or the Stratolauncher or whatever, his whole point was there to get more satellites into the sky so you get to see them, commerce and military satellites, so that you get to see all this technology in your face, like Elon Musk is involved in all this. So there's a mixed interest for me. As a little an interesting, this rocket used to, the first one used to use rubber as its propellant. Interestingly, as someone growing up, I was experimenting with little rockets, and so it was a little bit of an interest to me to hear that they could actually use that, because my little rockets never really got off their launch pad very far. So using rubber, because that was available to someone who didn't have much early on. And still doesn't, actually. But anyway, so very interesting. I spent a little bit more time here. It's just exciting to move off all this nonsense. So going in from all this interesting, kind of interesting stuff, they're going to, now you can get yourself into space, I suppose. From moving from slipping the surly bonds of Earth to the bondage of the Bar-Ass Association, rule o' law under color, a fraud of doing justice, the saga of Julian Assange has been continuing. New revelations. I didn't get to this last week. I don't touch this too much. I'm disgusted with how this all goes on. This is just another thing that everyone tolerates. Everyone's looking at it, and no one knows what to do with it. There is an interesting problem. Again, this is supposed to be someone who's in, any one of you could be this way, and are, if you really looked, understood what 9/11 and the laws did, the PATROT, the PATROT Act did, to y'all, all of us, not you, but me too, that the government, you find the government, we all would say, the choir would say, yeah, that it's corrupt. Well, you can just watch this case and watch how it works. You watch how the rule of law works across the country, across the world, in fact, where it's coming out that someone who was testifying against Julian Assange, who should be presumed innocent, is imprisoned in what's been said. I don't think it's any better than the worst prisons in the United States. And one of the witnesses against him that was brought up by the United States government to try and get extradition was a gentleman named Thor Darson, and the revelations of fabrications, another hole in the Julian Assange prosecution. So that's the title. I don't want to go through too much into it. The Belmarsh, they lead this in with tyrannical, brutal cynicism of keeping Julian Assange in Belmarsh prison remains one of the more inglorious marks of the British legal system. I can say British, but it's rule of law and democracy, right? It's global. This is another one of those veneers of control. That's a color of what it comes under the color of something good, and it's not. Don't ever forget that the bar associations or other of its forms are considered by the UN, United Nations, as an NGO. You don't get certified as an NGO unless you sing the high praises to that non-governmental institution created by the government. And I said that, and all of a sudden Clint Richardson's Corporation Nation steps up, where you see the government inside of corporations and the public-private partnership by the establishment of corporations. It also may answer, as I just said, that why it was changed from corporations do good to corporations do profit. Because the United States government, having its fingers in lots of these things, as you'll listen through Corporation Nation, is a profit-oriented system. And you get that through the origination and the peace treaty that I keep telling you about, that created this place, the United States of America. And we haven't moved from it all. And why Congress has control of commerce amongst the states, which are abroad each other, all in mercantile and in admiralty, and it's almost like a war fitting anyway. But moving over to Assange, so we have a witness that's been found to be lying, got favors from the United States government, and the U.S. attorney went with it anyway. It's not, again, if you're looking at the standard is the appearance. The mere appearance of impropriety is enough to cause injustice. That standard has not been held for, I don't know, forever, as long as I've seen it in some court cases, but it's not really held. It gets absorbed by the system of self-healing and protection within this Brew-O Law system, which, again, will promote whatever the global agenda is. And we've got to be careful about globalization and globalism. There's a little bit of a distinction. But in this case, they're going after somebody who was known now to be an editor, known now to be a free speech advocate that's supposed to be honored in the world. And you see it's not, is a statement to everybody who's watching on and gawking. Assange extradition, British appeal court grants U.S. a limited appeal. Notwithstanding this fraud, false testimony that was found to be incorrect as well. I mean, just not that it was a setup, but that there was false testimony within that. This gentleman who's got himself involved, wanted to make himself important inside of WikiLeaks and such. The British court allows the United States an appeal, notwithstanding all that, which shows you how this is working. And part of making a comment to this is, if you look inside what's going on, the machinations of these cases, you will start to see what license, what grants, what really the sovereignty that's given to a government just because they say so, without being questioned, without being checked, why it's so hard for us anymore to try, why fraud doesn't get the time of day in the way of its condemnation in the courts. It's agreed to in the courts. The justice, the so-called justices, see, that's even color, that's a fraudulent title. They will embrace fraud and then deny, and your allegation that they embrace fraud, they decide, is not well taken. And then you watch the ripple effect of these terms go right through your case, your case decisions, and all the bar members doing the same thing. And so you can watch the ripple effect of your stepping into this quagmire. It's way beyond a swamp. Okay, so this is your prison. And I don't see anybody attacking at the roots here. They attack at the branches. Julian Assange being mistreated. The whole thing is smells and stinks to high heaven. There is seemingly no way to stop this. But the interesting thing within this case is the High Court allowed an appeal, but the government, the United States government, cannot question what the judge determined relative to the danger that Assange is in and the mental health problems and the potential suicide that the judge found relative to that. And that's an interesting thing you need to look at, because there's certain things that is reviewable by the court and certain other things. And the position for almost all courts across the rule of law system is, in things of this nature, the judge, looking and listening to the evidence at that time, is in the best position to know and hear and sense what the proper decision is, that there's no way that a review court can decide that. And so they've given that almost absolutely, unless there's some real serious defects, they've given that decision over to the judge to do. And so why I'm saying this is, when you look at how the machinations are, there's some things that are standards that are working you need to know about. So you need to know what you're speaking to when someone comes against you. And I told you they're coming to your door. I'm going to hopefully get to the end of the tabs. And they're coming to your door, folks. you're going to have the answers I've been saying. And I'm going to give you a bunch more information here that shows you you're going to have more stuff in your folder for those of you who want to go look for people who have been doing the study, confirming everything that I've been telling you. I mean, I can't understand how hard it was when the guy behind the woodshed could look since last March, before last March, and tell you how it was coming, tell you how it was going, what you're going to have to do. And now it's coming out. People who have been doing the research and involved for decades now are telling you that's what's happening. Is something that was seeable and that a society should have been able to shut down and haven't is our problem. The Assange case is like the microcosm of what goes wrong. And it's all the same players, I guess, is the other thing I want to point out. But now moving into more of what's going on. And I just very briefly touched this, and it came back in emails of confirmations, was something moving into how the world is controlled by small groups, which somehow everyone abandons their own local law to allow this nonsense. It is, though, conceivable to me now that I've been dealing with these things for decades relative to what everyone was complaining was the Hegelian dialectic, which is really the tip of the iceberg of a complete system that's already been in your governments. You're not dealing with governments that are lawful. See, they're not unlawful. They're just not governments like you've been established. They've been subverted under the color of the fact that there's supposed to be checks and balances, which they know nobody, well, except for a couple of us, nobody will check. And those few that do come are able to be avoided. And I haven't heard about Vince. I forgot to ask earlier, with so much stuff going on setting up for today. I haven't seen Vince for a few weeks. I hope he's okay. But anyway, so moving on to how things are controlled and how the world will look on. And there's no more than just the protest. You know, you just protest that it's no good. That if you look, the things are in the works and in the plans, and they're executed right before our eyes. And we kind of just let them go. That we don't really think that, well, we want to give over that there's something better going on, that people are actually looking out for you in places of authority. And COVID tells us that they're not. Absolutely. Why people don't want to start getting in on this and helping themselves. This is all about each one of us. It's coming to your door, folks, as I told you it was coming. And they're not bashful to do that. But what came through the email a few weeks ago in confirmation of something that I just touched on, no different than we had the event 201, and they reference it in this argument. In fact, they reference this thing, another event coming, and it's here now, referencing event 201, was this cyber polygon pandemic. And I told you that, again, we're looking at the overall control is going to the technocratic digital age. And you think your phones are something you could use, and they're there for you, and they're a handy tool for you, and they're actually just a weapon, an implanted weapon already. It's a binary weapon as well, in a digital form. Well, the same folks at the World Economic Forum have been planning, and they did this before in 2020, I think 2019. This is not a new thing. This is ongoing how they continue doing this. From Event 201 to Cyber Polygon, the WEF simulation of a coming cyber pandemic. And this is a story from Whitney Webb. On Wednesday, the World Economic Forum, WEF, along with the Russian Sure Bank, if you think the Russians are out of it and there's something different and Putin's some great thing, even though he's showing diplomacy in the world better than anybody else, be careful on how, I've already told you way, way, way back in years and years ago how integrated this thing is. The money is where it's, so-called the as money is where it's integrated. And there's no nation that's not going to be outside of this. And so Russia is now coming to the fore, despite the Russians do it and done it. The United States is involved with all this on how this is working. The Sure Bank and its cybersecurity subsidiary Bizone announced that a new global cyber attack simulation would take place this coming July to instruct participants in the developing secure ecosystems by simulating the supply chain cyber attack similar to the recent SolarWinds hack that would assess the cyber resilience. Listen to all the globalist words here. Of the exercise's participants. That includes you. You don't know that, but that includes you. That's it. What people are trying to moving over somewhere else and saying, oh, this is them having war games. They are on you and right now. On the newly updated event website, the simulation called Cyber Polygon 2021 ominously warns that given the digitalization trends largely spurred by COVID-19 crisis, a single vulnerable link is enough to bring down the entire system, just like the domino effect, adding that a secure approach to digital development today will determine the future of humanity, not mankind, but you monsters out there, for decades to come. And it will. You allow this to go in, and it will. You will be controlled. Why, though, unless this is a military, okay, the green light from the military, is the entire system be brought down on a system that was made so that that couldn't happen. Explains some of the insight you can see right in these documents of what are these things, of these news, is the reports, even how someone discusses this situation. That I wanted to bring up an idea here that I asked the question of the emailer that reminded me that, because I didn't touch this too much. It seems like so much. Here it is, folks. And so if you don't get more involved, I don't really press it any harder. But here I'm going to remind us of something, because we actually look back into the future, if you will, that I think this, having us look like it's coming in July and we're here now, and it could be happening, and it could be an exercise, but it's going to affect you, and it's showing you your future world, technocratic future. It may have been just to focus us on this time, when in fact, Cyber Polygon has been being tested. And we saw the evidence of that when they shut down the fuel system. And you're going to see when you read the documentation, they're going after specific aspects of society. And the colonial pipeline was one of them. The food system was another. They shut those down. Now the food, the J&B, I think it was, they were much more prepared to do what I said colonial could have done in a couple hours. Just have IT understand. This is real. There's somebody going to come and hack. We don't know who that is. They're going to claim somebody else did it. We're looking at the culprits right here, the perpetrators right here. And so the vulnerabilities of the system, bringing down the entire system, is really an oxymoron at some level, meaning that the military either knows about this or they're allowing a false ability. But I think we may be seeing the Polygon event going on now as they test what people do, the people, you and me, what we do when they target these systems. Now, did they yet take down the entire system? No, I don't think they actually can in a way unless the military allows it, unless your central switchings, unless your corporate backbone is that integrated and not feeling too afraid of what the government might do or how to get around that would be a national security attack that eliminates everybody's protection when it wants to. But I just wanted to touch base because some things are coming up, again, within the digital realm, the digital development, the digitalization trends, the vulnerabilities that are built in is in every one of your hands that has a phone. It is within the system of surveillance that has any of these smart devices or smart appliances. And I'm not going to get to it, but they're fine. Now, I told you all this before. These devices now use radar to identify where you are in your own house, which I told you was going to be part of the information, the Internet of Things surveillance system. You're inviting in, you're consenting to whatever your objection to verbally is. That, you know, it was lots of people made hay over this, and it was the point, and it's the real thing. When Google removed its motto, don't be evil, we knew they were going to go evil. That given that digitalization is the problem, and then you see this relative to COVID, that Google force installs vaccine tracing on your phone. That would be, again, for the Android, which if you think about the Android phone, it's layers upon layers of control. An onion type of control structure. You've got the control structure and the vulnerabilities in the chips themselves, whether designed or by misdesign. That's something I know about being in the industry of R&D, where that's what we had to deal with. Not necessarily for computers like what we have today, although I was on a heart pacemaker, programmable heart pacemaker back when, before they existed. I was on some cutting edge projects. It was kind of cool. But we have vulnerabilities within the design structure and all that kind of stuff. So that's sitting at the at the chip level. That's sitting at the material level. Then you have the sub control level, which kind of controls how the hardware works, the physical material works. Then you have the software that sits on top of that and any other layer that comes on. Well, Google phones have all those, and then they have Google. Google sits over the top of what you get. And so there's never been in the, and iPhone's the same way. So it's just a matter of time. You have no security built into the system, the hardware that they're handing you. And so Google force installs tracking and tracing, and they have all their lip service they give to, oh, well, but you can opt out or opt in. The point is that the point was here that they just did it, and the tracking and tracing was also went to kids' phones. And there's no consent, and there's no disclosure. They control what you see. It's like the Twilight Zone. Don't adjust your set. For those of you that remember that, get on the internet to see that. Don't adjust your set. For the next half hour or whatever hour, we've got control of your TV set. That's your phone. And you're going to see what they give you and what they do to you. And this is tracking and tracing that Google puts on. When you think about Event 201, now moving to Cyber Polygon, and the vulnerability your phone already has, they can't stop this. They're telling you in the prior story about Polygon, they have you by the digital throat. And so I'd say keep it up. Keep up this thing. Keep up integrating with this digitalization. They're telling you it's vulnerable. I think we were looking at these attacks were actually the exercise coming out to see how people would respond to an attack, how whether or not a corporation's ready to handle all this. So Google enforces tracking and tracing on your phone, just like I've said was coming. They'd have to. They have to control your hardware. They have to control the battle space and surveillance. And they're a part of it. They're not a military contractor. Don't ever forget that's always sitting back there. We get up farther up into new, if you will, new revelations, which are not just someone who's been in the revelation and now explaining what they've been watching for 20 years. You're going to see the begin. If you listen very carefully, you see all of this starts from a military impetus, even on the COVID and what they're doing. But now we then move into also. Notwithstanding they force track and trace, Google's involved with the global vaccine passports, and they're now declaring they have arrived. All beyond you. A private company doing a passport is a real fascinating thing to me. Passport. Port is commerce. Is it the port of your phone as well? The jack of your phone? Is it the Wi-Fi port? Yeah, all that. It's all commerce. It's all being able to be made profitable by corporations, which the government is going to promote. Because the bottom line, the business of doing business, as I think Richard Pryor's little voice popped up, on June 30th, 2001, Google developers blog announced the launch of vaccine passports in Android through its Passes API. Now, I have to say, folks, when you start looking at companies that have been working on it, this is not done on no investment. They're investing dollars, and the corporation's going to get its return. This is not done for nothing. When you're watching companies being bought out and then destroyed, it wasn't done to destroy something. It was done to actually make more profit. You may not understand it. I may not understand it. But there's people out there that's what they do in the world. They monopolize, and then they organize, and then they capitalize on systems of oppression. For profit. That's a RICO setup. And that, when I get to the link, that comes out. The gentleman who's been looking at this for two decades, doing the research, being a part of the analysis for commerce, and essentially, what his business was all this time, happened to look at all this stuff. It was there, right there to tell us. It was questioned, this is approaching RICO. And he goes, no, this is racketeering influenced corrupt organizations condition relative to these bioweapons. They're literal bioweapons, and he agrees, he says that too, like we've been saying here. Everything I've told you way in advance, just by reading the documents, folks, anticipating to you what we would see and what we might do in anticipation of that to try and protect ourselves, is starting to be brought open to you in proof. You can get the documents now. So less than 24 hours later, the European Union, long mired in the sea of national standards for digital jab records, rolled out the EU-wide vaccine passport. If you don't watch how this thing works and what telegraphs what. Two completely different vaccine passport schemes unveiled on the same day, encompassing the whole Western world? What are the odds? That's right. So now they give you two choices, and then they let you choose one. Don't give you the third choice and not choose it at all, do they? And so you see the public-private partnershiping going on to advance a choice, which is a non-choice. Google is involved. They removed the motto, don't be evil for a reason. Right? They were using that to cover them as they approached this thing. And they're not the only ones. All these tech companies most of them are in on it. That's where the money is. That's where the government, subsidizes with their grants the incentive to do these certain things. So, Polygon event 2120, I didn't touch much about it. You can read all the documents, it's there. Anticipating this, watching this, telling you this before. We see it's already been in the plans, in the works, it's been working on, and it continues to work. And then we see this, and then a late breaking story from last night, and then a late breaking story I just got just before breaking into the broadcast. Last night I found this. Alleged cyber attack creates unprecedented chaos for Iran's national rail network. When you go in and look at Polygon 2021, they'll tell you there's about four major places they're attacking. Transportation is one. Power is another. I can't remember. You can read it all. You can find out. Just keep track of all this. This is attacking transportation. It's got all the earmarks of a national attack of cyber Polygon. They say unprecedented chaos, they put that in quotes, and then they say alleged cyber attack as if Iran's doing it to themselves. And then you read in the story what Iran is up against. We know the politics, the geopolitics of all this. When they tell you who is actually known to do this, and the only two entities that come up, one's the pipsqueak and the other one that the pipsqueak is fed by, is the United States and Israel. And I told you a long time ago, watch out Israel, they're positioning themselves as the premier supplier of hardware, technology, software, and application for this the digitalization of the world. Again, this is like one big corporation, they're deciding the future they want as well. So they tell us right up front who is really on the forefront. Iran officials have in recent past blamed Israel and the United States for frequent cyber attacks on national infrastructure, in addition to the latest sabotage incidents. And this article puts that in quotes. It's like no one believes it. The incidents on nuclear and oil sites often blamed on Israel intelligence. So a lot of finger pointing, but they only point their finger at two places. And we know. The United States professes to have global dominance in most arenas, if not all, maybe not hypersonic weapons now, but we also know that Snowjob Snowden popped out with what they have, and that I think was done to cover how it made it wild what the secret technology was, so if the secret technology got out after a long time, you'd be able to finger whoever was using it. Now you can't finger anybody who done it. And we understand, too, that they can put any type of fingerprint on these whodunits so that you can't know. They can, by fingerprint, point the finger at someone else if you're not paying attention. And so here we have what appears to be a cyber polygon attack under the color of what? Cyber terrorism, ransomware stuff. And remember I talked about being AI-controlled drones and this software of life that they're getting people to take caused you to be, I guess we could say, a drone. That word would be in quotes. You're not fully actually able to know you're in control of yourself at some point when you look at all the technology behind it. And this relative to Israel's control and their experimentation and the field they occupy now and are relied upon. First AI war, Israel uses AI-controlled drone swarms, supercomputers against Palestinians. Now, why all that isn't something that should be shut down, I don't know, but it's not. So that tells you the state of your world, the big prison you live in. Palestinians are the little microcosm of you and where you think you live in a free land. Theirs is more of an obvious panopticon inside the walls of which Israel is using AI-controlled drones. And I have a couple people I follow. No, I don't follow them. I don't follow many anybody. I just go look at their stuff. I don't want to be tracked and traced by the media to know what my interests are. But I follow some people that are publishing out of Gaza. And the numbers of drones is horrendous in the air. And they're bombing all kinds of people. You don't know from one minute to the next if you're going to live. And it's been known that they're not bombing military installations. They're murdering people. And they're using digitalization, artificial intelligence to do it. The machine. During 11-day escalation of May 2021, and it's not over. They're talking about this May 2020. This is still going on. You go to a couple people publishing in English out of Gaza, you say it's ongoing. The IDF uses a swarm of AI-guided drones and supercomputing to comb through data and identify new targets within the Gaza Strip. It claims this is the first time ever that the swarm of AI drones has been used in combat. I want you to understand what they're talking about when they said about Google forcing tracking and tracing software onto the phone. Even with their opt-in condition or opt-out condition, you cannot know whether or not that's irrelevant. And I would say, relative to Israel and its genocidal policies, apartheid policies, absolutely not. They just inject processes. How do you think they're targeting all this? Where do they think the so-called AI is getting this information? The data acquisition. The use of AI and drone strikes has seen a surge in war zones, with the recent UN report revealing Libya launched an autonomous weaponized drone attack on Haftar-affiliated sources last year, the first time an AI-guided drone identified and possibly attacked human targets without human input. Now the technology appears to have found significant use in the Israeli-Gaza conflict. Since when is it supposed to be a conflict? But there is, and this is the main problem with all this. You think that technology is not being used where you live? When you listen to to what's going on with people in the news today? So, this vulnerability to the digitalization and the ability to track and trace, you should not take too lightly when you find out Google forces stuff into your phone. You have no way to stop it. Well, you might have a way, and I haven't been able to yet. I'm hopefully going to be able to in the near future, de-Google the phone. That still doesn't stop the vulnerability of the layer in there. So you just get rid of anything Google. You just put a new platform. Then you're dealing with the hardware, the integrity of the software designer that's non-Google that operates on the chip. Then you start to cut closer to being able to have a little bit of isolation. But you still got two vulnerabilities sitting there. But you don't have... aren't connected where someone can change your information without you knowing it. And there's little things that you can do to get that. It becomes more of a computer. That's what I've been looking at to do. Get rid of the phone aspect that has that veneer of control and interjection vulnerability by corporations, which tells you who owns the phone anyway, but no one pays attention to that. That you're watching them tell you in the microcosm of Palestinians and Israel creating a war zone. The war zone could be created around you. You wouldn't... It's conceivable, because people can't understand this. There's a war zone that's been created around you already, while this stuff is in place. Why a cyber polygon has license to do what it's doing. And it's global. And before I move over, I almost forgot the late-breaking story... on that, can't remember, I have to just say it, I don't remember now where I put it, was that, well, I put it on the other end, excuse me, it was late breaking, I didn't have a time to put it in the line, was that Germany has just declared a cyber disaster. So, what are the odds? I guess the other article, what are the odds? Yeah, what are the odds here? This is all coming down together. This is maybe happening. This is global. This is just not the United States. So where are you when you think about what Google just did, tracking and tracing? You think about what Israel's doing to use that intelligence to go kill people. The story that they use the Internet of Things to radar, using radar inside the design to find you. I've told you most about all this. And then your phone, which is a beacon. Can we, at one time here, real soon, we get together in our mind and conceive this is a serious condition that we're going to have to resolve? That we cannot not be, we cannot not do something about it, partly because we won't know when they're coming on our door. And that's in the works. And I had it out of place. I found it here. And I wanted to say it before with a cyber polygon. District Council declares Germany's first ever cyber catastrophe. What's the odds it's all happening in July, folks? Hackers knocked out the IT operations of the municipality of Anhalt-Bitterfeld in the state of Saxony-Anhalt on Tuesday, a spokesperson confirmed on Reuters on Saturday. Now I got to say thank you, Sound Minds, for bringing this in, even as late as it was. I barely got to it. But here it is, all in time. Thank you for the support on that, and thank you for your support. In fact, I think I just figured out, was it TrueTube Live? I think I finally got to the account where you have it. I couldn't find it before. And those of you that commented over there, I think Veronica's over there. Thank you. I haven't seen about you for months and months. I appreciate that you're still hanging in there and listening. So but here, hackers knocked it out. Well, we are almost completely paralyzed, a spokesperson added. In an office would remain offline next week, giving no indication of when services would resume. Okay, so let's just get it. The digitalization of the world is causing the vulnerability itself, which was never supposed to be brought down as a system. So if you look carefully, they're not bringing down the entire system. They're only bringing about select parts. And so here's your system. When your system goes down, the municipality system goes down, and that's how you interact with the e-government. How you do everything, how you're going to use your codes that are now on the phone to read each other, to know the mark that you've been given in order to do what you're going to do. And that goes down. How do you do all that? Now, if you watch third world countries where the power comes on and the power goes off, or you look right inside of Gaza when Israel blows up a power station, they rebuild it, and they have power for a little while, but marginal, because everyone, there's millions of people that need power, and then Israel goes and blows up their power generator, in violation of every known right and war issue, and they claim it's in a conflict zone, so they use it in war zones, but the world doesn't stop this. And so you are on margins, you are living in austerity, you have someone bombing you, or attacking you, or able to attack you, and you don't see the writing on the wall with this right here, I'm really wondering about us as people. But we have it declared. They've declared, if we couldn't make it up before, a disaster. A cyber disaster. And so here it is. What else, other earmarks do I need to say? Cyber Polygon is live. They didn't do this in some computer on a supercomputer simulation. No, they put it out in the world. They put the experiment out in the world, and you're a part of it. Didn't ask you. And as I say that, I'm wondering, Title 50, did they give us a notice that we were supposed to respond to as a society? Because that's where the license for the United States military is. They're supposed to give you a notice it's happening. Maybe that's what this was. And then we're all supposed to get together and say you can't do that. And if we don't, we consent. Anyway, so here it is. We got the first declaration under the timing of Polygon, Cyber Polygon, which I think we saw this ransomware type attacks that affects the infrastructure of your nation. Not just a corporation here and a corporation or a business there, but actually attacks the subject matter of Cyber Polygon's threat vulnerability, so-called assessment. You're looking at the execution. It's not a drill. You're looking at the exact execution of it. And Iran's looking at it transportation-wise, and you're looking at here The transportation of data is another one as well. The function of government. And that government's going to be down for a week. Think about your digital life. It's like a power dropping for a week. What are you going to do? Pausing, I don't know. I just want to sit here and why are we just watching this stuff when the evidence about it all and the people. See, we're talking about these events. There are people, criminals, criminal minds doing this to everybody. And there's not a rest one. Again, back to the rule of law. Assange is you. Assange is the people, the perpetrators against him in a system, a horrendous system, is not necessarily felt by people in the world. And yet it's the same thing. Your vision, your eyeballs, don't perceive it. So again, I sit here thinking about this stuff and I really have nothing more to say at some level. Are we going to step up? Are we going to do more than just acknowledge it's taking people down? We all are next at some level. They're coming to your door. And I've been offering what you need to say, what you're going to have. You're watching what's coming to your door does not regard or respect your property rights whatsoever. It's going to disregard anything that you have to say about the matter. And you're going to have a different word in your mouth to stop them. Because what you're watching is a racketeering syndicate that's attempting to coerce you into harm. And you're looking at people that are without medical licenses, attempting to suggest to people to do something that they are not qualified to assert. And they're doing it under the color of having the right, which is a felony. Like I said, I don't know. I just sit here wondering what else can I say. Let's move on here to some information. This information, you got to look through what I'm saying on this. I'm going to give you in the blogcaster a link to a video. It's not really what they say. Some of it is in what they say in the video. Most of it, I am not interested in what they say. The title of this, a sensational title. I'm not interested in the sensational. If it's big information and it's not sensational, we need to know that. But there was the statement of this is the top scientists confirm, scientists confirm most of vaccinated to die soon. Courts remove mask mandates and premier's power. I was more interested in not the billions that were going to die. We've talked about that behind the woodshed. We've talked about why we don't have a number. That I'm not interested in. What I was interested in, the one link in the description, where they talk about the premier's power were stopped and the mask mandates. They offer in the video one link and then another you need to track down. And I don't remember if I grabbed both of them or not. I did find them both. Where the two jurisdictions altered their COVID mitigation and eliminated them. The important missing link is that they reference, these people who are talking on this, reference a court case that the Ottawa document, I think it's Ontario, excuse me. Yeah, there's those two. The Ontario document, which I have a link for, they had their link, which I'm offering you, you can find it in the description, shows that it ends the declaration. Apparently it's referring to a court case. I offer this as a source to start to go back. There's something shifting in Canada. What the real reason for, if they're adjusting to reassert a new style of imposition, I don't know. But when you look at the British Columbia cancellation, and they mark that cancellation back to March, when all these other acts have happened, there's something potentially very important about what just happened to remove some of the emergencies in certain areas, provinces, or districts. And I don't have a knowledge of how that works. You're the Kanukistinian divisions. I'd say just jurisdictions. That the important part of this isn't the video. It's the link to the declarations that are official. And in the Ontario one for sure, there's no new imposition at this point when I looked at it. There's no new, when you look behind it, what they're doing, there's no emergency. And in Kanukistan, something, if it's related to a court case, has shifted. British Columbia automatically picked up on it, wasn't forced to do much of anything. They just canceled. Then the important thing will be to find that court case. So those of you in Kanukistan need to go see if that's real, if that court case exists, and the reason what the court said was why the orders had to be removed. That's going to be critical. And so I'm not sure what it means other than here's a lead. As a miner has a lead, then he finds the value, and it becomes the load he claims. So that's why I'm going to offer this to you. There's been some shifting going on in Kanukistan. The emergency orders are being eliminated on two different types. One's a revocation, and one was a cancellation. One is said to have been done by a court order that was not cited to. The case was not cited to. A request I know from someone who responded to me on this said that they put a request in to the gentleman, which the comments say to contact in order to get that, and I haven't heard back that there was the court case has been identified. I am a little hesitant on this because when it was asked where the court case was, the one who's talking on the video said, go do your own research. But that's not helpful. If it exists, that's not helpful. If it doesn't exist, then that's a cover for this guy shouldn't be promoting anything. He should be whisked off of the scene, if you will. But those orders from British Columbia and Ontario are official. Those are potential clues. I wanted to tell you about that. Something's shifting, and we want to find out why. Why? Because they're coming to your door. The United States of America, they're coming to your door. New Zealand, they're coming to your door. They're going to be stalkers now. They're going to track you down. You're going to have to be able to figure out what way to stop them. Oh, my dog Rex, thank you for jumping in the chat. I haven't seen you, Roz. Well, hoping everything was okay. Thank you very much for being there. Now we get to the effect. But before I get to some evidence of what more tangible physical evidence of the problem that we're facing, the racketeering influence corrupt organization globally that's against us, that somehow nobody knows how to stop. I'm still blown away by this. I know it from the standpoint of the Bar Association, and that's not to exclude some of the attorneys that are working, the lawyers that seem to be working on that, finally got dog on the hunt, and they're after it, but they still are a bit falling short in my mind. But they're collecting evidence, which is good. I mean, at the point of you're still looking around, this is a good thing. There are some lawyers doing this. Not a lot. And not to the point to make the definitive case, which I do think is still sitting in Tennessee, notwithstanding the dismissal, because when you look at what they did there, it was completely wrong. It's a complete extension of the fraud that the judiciary has already agreed into doing that they deny. And you have to look at all this as we look to find out who's doing it, how they're getting it done, and where the evidence is of that, and how to make the evidence, which I tell you, get the evidence in the record. It's easy to do that without jeopardy. But we're talking about people getting affected. You got love runs around you, and thank you for the comment. I wasn't able to get to you. It came to my email. Thank you for commenting to the RLM comment of the last broadcast. And yes, it is frustrating to watch those that you care about say they won't do these injections, and yet they turn around and they get them anyway. And those that would say no, don't do anything to protect themselves. It's very frustrating. I don't know really what to do with that. I said it. I'm not the Tony Robbins that I think needs to be using to invoke and aspire people into acting for protecting themselves. And so I just sit here to tell you what I tell you, what I see, how I put it together. In a way, part of me is looking at the guy that does that and saying, how are you putting that together? There's a part of me that doesn't believe what I do. How many months ahead of time it does it? But there's a certain thing going on, and I guess that's what I'm fixed on. And it's so obscure, but it's findable that's the dismay for my own self, just to let you know. Sometimes I just listen to myself wondering, how did you figure that out? If I don't remember the track, I lose it, because there's a guy that's asking that question that's kind of sitting, okay, yeah, it sounds schizophrenic, but it's not like that. It's just this thought that comes in your mind. How did you pull that together? And then 8 months later, it proves itself out. Well, I know how I pulled it together. But it's not a very tangible thing that allows me to do that. It's somewhat intangible. And those of you that work with me a bit, you start to pick at that. I can start seeing you start to see it that way too. It's just a way that you start looking at things. And let's move on to the ramifications for those that are out there. These will all be dismissed as some small percentage of the major population that's getting it. But we really don't know what the major population is getting an actual jab and not saline solution. Which, I want to remind you, the test reports from the companies making the injections said that saline was more dangerous than their injection. Said it right in their documentation. I reported on that. So, but 450 fully vaccinated Norwegians sick with COVID. Okay, so I got that out of my system. Can we get back to the reality that they told you would get the symptoms? Can you know when you research this, you're going to get something? They're giving you something. And your body responds through giving symptoms like the flu. And where'd the flu go? We're going to get a link that somebody questions. Where'd the flu go? There's a guy in Germany that says, where did the flu go? Because it disappeared here in Germany, the same place that just had their cyber polygon drill actually take out a municipality. That could be anything in your evolution, in your digital world, your evolutionary world, the digital world. And more importantly, we're not relying on it quite yet, so we don't really necessarily feel the impact. Just think that that's your bill paying. Just think that that's how you're going to transfer data, or how you're going to have permission to go do something, or that what you have to do in your life. Just think about that being interfered with. What are you going to do? That's why we say go local. Go local in the meeting, again, the people that you need. And I guess I don't know. Oh, I did say it. I mean, cynically, I guess it's cynical. I guess I figured out what cynical is talking with David Tulis, the guy who says the good people are these sovereign citizens and government hurting you. He told me that my observation about something going on back in Tennessee was a cynical. I finally re-looked at that. I think I might understand what cynical is. But I found out that if you look at it just right, being cynical is not a negative. It's actually maybe an observation of truth where it can be shown and proven about the human nature and the intention of the human, the man, monster, in mistreating his fellow human to the point that if fully vaccinated Norwegians get sick with COVID. Yeah, okay. That's not news, but do you want to get sick with COVID? You don't even know what that is, folks. When you get these links I'm going to give to you this afternoon, you're going to find out, as I've been telling you, you can't know that you're susceptible. You can't know what you're going to get because it affects the weak link in your immune system, or it develops one for a subsequent attack. And then I came onto a revelation, if you will, I'll say it's a revelation, because what do I know of some of this stuff? I can't talk to you about it today. I'll maybe do it next week. I may have come on to another thing that they're exploiting in the narrative. In other words, they're proving to me it is nothing. All they're doing is putting a narrative before you on previously known situations that makes it plausible to you and plausible for them to impose these things, when what they're imposing has nothing to do with what they're talking about, and it's just what they've done in the past for other things. And I'm keeping it nebulous there because I want to maybe bring this forward. And just, it's right in our face. Anybody that's read the communicable disease laws and codes of your state has seen this talked about. And what do I know about certain things? I have to go read it. I'm just as dumb as the next post. I've got to go read what's going on and then take a deeper dive if I want to understand a little bit better. And so it comes a little bit late. But I'm now seeing a better, again, I've said that there's nothing going on. The Wuhan is just another cover to make you believe something's going on. The bat thing has never been proven. That's just to make you believe it could be something coming on. It's a ruse. It's a fabricated narrative. And so everything, and you're looking at the placebo effect, I suppose, and you're looking at a fabrication of everything. And as you read enough, you start finding all the parts and pieces. Kind of like looking at CyberGun, is CyberPolygon actually happening? Well, the transportation system of Iran just went down. The Western press is dismissing that it's a real thing, like Iran's making it up. Germany just declared a cyber disaster. Never happened before, folks. Event 201, never happened before until now. although they stand on the shoulders of prior fraud, which is all now on the record. I mean, beyond me to say, the guy beside myself here is saying, how'd you figure that out? But there it is. Now, I'm asking you all to step up for yourself. It's really a dire condition. So those of you who have information, you're looking at 450 vaccinated Norwegians get sick with the COVID. That was predicted. I don't even know why that's a question. They're going to try and diminish it, which they do like a second or third paragraph. It's infected individuals make up 0.03% of those fully vaccinated. 0.0%, 7% was what the COVID supposedly did when they were stealing influenza numbers, and yet it became an issue, and this is not. And so you see the hypocrisy in the whole condition over and over and over. It's a narrative. And then there's, if you will, professionals that are on the line. They committed to this. Now they got a CYA. Cover your anterior. Yeah. Okay. So there's a bunch of self-interest going on here. Why? It's real simple. Nobody just followed the law. I keep looking at this. How did I know right to go to the fulcrum? The way it would lean one way or the other, and I hit that thing right on, and that hasn't changed. Had every jurisdiction just followed their local communicable disease law honestly, and not accepted the suggestion of foreigners, the bulk of you would not have known about what we call COVID-19. And now all of its variants, so-called, none of those exist. If you don't have the first one, you don't have a variant, which you have in perception management and the placebo effect. So 450 people get the vaccine, catch the thing that they're giving you, just like they told you you would, and more. They're only talking about those that come down with the COVID, the flu-like symptoms. You don't know why those flu-like symptoms are hitting them. It's a myriad different things that they might be hitting, being hit. And I've shown you how if it's an exasperation of a comorbidity you did not have, that you were asymptomatic with, that you lived with, that your body was in balance with, you wouldn't know that you have these things that are being targeted. And yet, these people who have sat down and figured this out do know. They know you better than yourself. And they know, like I didn't know what I was seeing last night about something that's right in our face, right in the communicable disease law, all the symptoms and all the measures that they're taking for COVID is that thing. And it's an asymptomatic condition. I didn't know that, and I'm not going to tell you. You can go find out what that is yourself, but maybe I'll talk about it next week. It's just fascinating. Sometimes I don't want to talk about it because it's just too much. I'm not the expert. I'm not the trained guy. So some of this is almost too wild for me to say, but I think I'm going to talk about this next week when I have more time. But to show you, you don't know about what we have. We don't know what we have in our system. We don't know how wonderful our immune systems are that keep us in balance against something that's already constantly attacking us. We are in just balance, neutrality with it. As I was telling you about the bees and keeping the bees, you force me to use an antibiotic of some sort as a state, and then the thing I'm fighting gains a resistance. I'm stuck to what you're forcing me to do, and stuck to stop the problem. You've actually created the problem. Is this very same thing? It's like a constant theme of application against ignorant people who won't act to defend themselves. Thousands of flights canceled as vaccinated pilots fall ill or die. This is a story, I think, coming out last week, not a week before, I can't remember now. According to a 2014 study published in the Journal of Thrombosis and Hemostasis, pilots suffer an increased risk of clotting issues due to frequent and prolonged air travel. Pilots are encouraged to be aware of the signs of deep venous thrombosis and clotting issues, and take preventative measures such as compression stockings and stretching of their legs during long flights. Medical News Today published a study on June 15, 2021 that showed an increased risk of blood clotting and low platelets in AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine recipients. Some scientists hypothesize, if you don't think you're living in an experiment over this, some scientists, so-called, hypothesize that since the ethylene diamine triacetic acid, EDTA, in the shots causes a full body reaction once the vaccine comes into contact with platelets inside the human body, and the vaccine activates these platelets, causing them to change shape and transmit chemical signals to the immune system perpetually, folks. The new platelets send out a platelet factor, PF4, which regulate blood clotting. All right, they go through this one narrow view of what they hypothesize, telling you they don't know what's really going on. This could be going on. We don't know of anything else that's going on. And then they only talk about EDTA when we found out some other things. Let's go to the caption, the title again. Thousands of flights canceled as vaccinated pilots fall ill or die. Is not the kind of thing I want to be up against. And yet they're allowing it. Do you want a chance? How many pilots are there compared to the whole of the society? It's a small percentage. Look what they're in charge with. I was astonished how many flights. Millions. I can't even believe it. Millions of flights a year that come around the world. There's a pilot, at least one pilot, in every one of those ships running around. Those airships. All right? They're agreeing that these treatments, these bioweapons, cause clotting. And they are having an effect on the pilots who already, again, see, you have not just a comorbidity, you have a potential condition that is in what you do, a condition that it reduces your resistance to this problem, is exactly where this injection fight attacks you. And it's being seen in those most vulnerable in that condition. This is not something internal to your body. It's what you put your body through and what it does in life. This is another potential avenue of observation of the risks that are involved beyond anything that they're talking to you. UK, this is for those of you in the UK, is vaccine not working against Delta variant? Half of recent deaths include those vaccinated with jabs. Half. They're questioning whether or not it's working against the Delta variant. That's a red herring. There are no variants. And if those of you that listen to me that don't really get that, there's no variants because there's no SARS-CoV-2. And if there is, it's a synthetic created novel, as they keep saying. Every time, in fact, one of the videos, I think it's Dr. David Martin, he keeps saying novel. He doesn't understand. He might as well just replace novel with the word patented, then we'll get right to the point. These are private patented substances that have a horrendous patenting history, and they show more racketeering and corrupt organization tactics inside. But he'll explain that to you when we get to that link. But they're saying here, is the vaccine working against a Delta variant? Where they admit half of the recent deaths include those vaccinated with jabs. Do you want to risk that, folks? And then you find out there is no variant. In other words, they're using that to cover that this injection gives you something and the potential to kill you is, they know, and they really don't care about that. New Delhi, COVID-19 Delta variant is surging. Like some seamstress sewing together the tail for your perception management. A variant is surging the UK, and as per the WSJ report, almost half of the country's recent COVID deaths are of people who have been vaccinated. Amazing, folks. I'm just stunned. I'm really almost speechless right there. It is being reported that doctors and scientists, aren't sounding the alarm about the apparently high proportions of death among the vaccinated population. I wonder why. Well, they're not doctors and they're not scientists. They're opportunists. They're modern medicine men. And if they were a good doctor or scientist and they spoke out, the government may come and kill them, put them away. If not, social media will take care of them. The mRNA inventor of the technique has had his social account, I think in LinkedIn, taken down. The guy who knows all about it. That was the bioethicist I presented to you the other week, talking in an interview with Brett Weinstein, and he talked about this as a consultant to the Army. He explained there's some terrible things going on around all this. The guy who invented the process that they're using for mRNA to reprogram your cells, your DNA, with the hybrid through the transcription process has been censored. We're calling out how bad things are going on. I just think about the stuff I'm saying. It's just a stunner. It's just a stunner, and we watch it. But we acknowledge that it's going on, and we still keep quiet. Nobody writes the stupid, simple little letter. A simple letter. It really is a simple letter, folks. There's some things we have to put into that, and to think about it. But it's really, in fact, somebody, an emailer, was astonished at how simple it really is, the letter you get to write. Moving on to all this stuff is, we already know there is no test. I called that out in March or April of last year. Hashtag, go look it up. You'll see when I was starting to post it. When I did a bit of a deep dive to find out what are we dealing with here. And yet we come today with this PCR test thing, this antibody test, these things that they telling you they can test for, all at the same time that these people are dying, and they claim it's for COVID-19. And then you see this little story, the FDA in brief from the FDA Gov website, for those of you that think I just make stuff up. FDA advises against use of the SARS-CoV-2 antibody test results to evaluate immunity or protection from COVID-19, including after vaccination. In fact, you read that title, that's a legal statement. The word including means for only those after vaccination. You can't use the antibody test for SARS-CoV-2, notwithstanding there is not one. The one they purport, the under color of the fraud that it is, does not. You can't use that one anyway. As I was telling you, they were going to adjust all that. But the FDA, we're not talking CDC here. Now, understand this distinction in the agency translation. The FDA says it can't be used for immunity. What did I talk to you about? You got the problem with immunity, build up, a susceptibility, and you have the transmissibility based in that. That's never and cannot be decided, first of all. Secondly, why would they, can they, if they have nothing? It's fabricated. What they're installing in you, like Google forced into the Android phones, was a track and trace, was the bioweapon, primary bioweapon, through the jab, causing the jabdemic. Norwegian people are getting COVID-19, the jabdemic. Pilots are coming down with the very thing they said in the, that are now saying, oh, well, now we're going to have to add three things that have to do with what the pilots are experiencing. They were suffering the jabdemic. The jabdemic is being created and spread around the world by the very injection. The problem they created is the problem they're solving. Perfect. The FDA says you can't use the antibody test to evaluate immunity. Of course not. Why? Because there is no test. It's not an antibody test. There is no SARS-CoV-2 unless it's synthesized utilizing technology inside a research lab to put together. And it's not, doesn't stop there, as we found out reading from the technology. They're building nanoscale subsystems in your body. And then they create your body to be the factory for the very thing they claim they're trying to stop. It has been shown they cannot be called vaccines because the vaccine is supposed to keep you from getting it. By definition, that the Norwegians are catching the symptoms means that it can't be a vaccine. I mean, I don't know how many angles we get at this thing. This is the fraud of all time, I would think. I can't imagine a bigger one. The amount of people that, I mean, given there wasn't this population that was destroyed on the earth before we got here, the amount of people that are being affected and so completely is truly astonishing. It's a scale I don't even know I can comprehend. It's a scale that was so effective, I don't know how much better somebody could destroy something to plan on it that way. How well this has been working. And the FDA comes out and says, well, you can't use that to test immunity. Yeah, but why are they using it to do so? Why do they promote that they can? And I told you it was going to be about whether or not your body could immediately respond. And there would be tests for that. Eventually that would happen. We're going to come to something here. I hope I get there. But there's a professor that actually tells you that there's been two studies. So those of you, and again, I always got to hesitate here because of that needle in that haystack. If they can do this kind of technology, they're willing to bring out the 1918 flu, dig it out of the icy depths and bring it back out, and any other thing they find, and they want to give it dual use function, gain of function. These people are psychopaths. They're willing to do that. We don't know. There's not a needle in the haystack of noise. There is something really out there that they can do that is really enhanced. They've gotten everybody to do something without it. They don't need it. So I hesitate that we can say there's nothing out there. This looks like something that exploits your existing weak link in your immune system as well. That would be something that the military would be working toward. But to be able to understand this and to denounce it completely runs the danger that they do have that needle in the haystack that I don't want people to disregard. I'm not saying there might not be something just like they're talking about and worse that they've made. It's been, again, patented. When you say novel, it's just patented. Someone made this. They plan to make it. They plan to make it more virulent. I've always questioned it. What the heck would someone do that? Well, the military wants it, and that's good enough. That's where you're going to find all this stuff starts from a military impetus, as I've been telling you over and over and over again. So the FDA says there's no immunity, and yet a professor is going to show you how two tests are going to show you we already have immunity. But before that, we're going to get to this little report. Cleveland Clinic already had COVID. Vaccine provides no added benefit. The Defender is experiencing censorship. The Defender is in a periodical, apparently, of some sort. Experiencing censorship on many social channels. Because it starts to print these stories out, the new preprint study of the Cleveland Clinic found people previously infected with SARS-CoV-2 were less likely to be reinfected than fully vaccinated individuals who never had the virus, suggesting the vaccine is of no benefit to the people who already had COVID. And how do you know? There is no test. Well, you do know, folks. If I can kind of can I break it to you soft, folks? Let's go back. They keep talking COVID-19, and they talk SARS-CoV-2. Those don't exist, but they mentioned already had COVID. What's COVID without the 19? COVID is what, folks? We've been missing this for all these reports for months and months and months. COVID is the common cold. Do you think, just possible, in all this time, we have an immune system that's seen the common cold? Can I give you a hint? Pro tip, folks. The word common's telling you. Yeah, I think we can predict your body's going to respond. And that's what makes this next coming up here, the professor identifying something in the two reports so important. No wonder you don't need to see this, folks. We're getting the evidence that all along, as I've said, your body can handle some of this stuff. It depends on what they're doing on the injection part that diminishes your ability to fight. But there's no benefit to those that have had it. How do you know you didn't have it? And when I bring in the option that maybe it's not even the common cold, but your body being affected through a comorbidity that you live with. It's kind of like parasites that people live with. They just live with them. You live with your ailments. You don't know that they're there. They coexist. Yeah, you may be down a little bit in performance, but nothing really major. Then you'll not know that you're living with certain conditions that is then targeted to disrupt the balance that the body has built in to keep it going. Like the bees, as I was telling you. You start using an antibiotic, and then that stops working because the critter, the beastie, or whatever you're fighting wants to get more virulent because it's adapting to that, and it can sustain the attack. You're going to have problems. You're making that bug stronger. But getting the vaccine by this study was saying that you don't get any benefit. In fact, it reduces this jabdemic reduces your ability to respond in the future. Some vaccinated people are dying of COVID-19, the symptoms, not of SARS-CoV-2, But here's why scientists aren't surprised was a media, you know, legacy media discussion on how you shouldn't be too worried about it. Why? Because they admit the vaccines are not effective, not completely effective. Well, I would argue that if it's an argument, that's not the truth. I think they are very effective. It's just that we don't know to what extent and upon what body system they've diminished. For those of us that are asymptomatic, so-called, and those of us that are healthy, and yet we still may have a coexisting balanced battle going on with our systems. And we're targeted, even by a normal transmission, if you will, given we have the virus can transmit through the air, like the common cold, which we do get. It's a theory that says maybe your body just gets run down at certain times of the year, so it's not that at all. But anyway, notwithstanding that, the transmission is understood to be from people to people. You're not surprised when this happens. They're not surprised that it's not effective. Nothing's 100% effective. And this is the other problem. I think it's very effective. It's killing half of the people that get it in the UK. And that's not saying the harm that it's doing to those we don't know that don't die, that don't make the record. So I would argue records are showing these jabdemic insults are very effective. And the scientists aren't going to look at it because they don't want to see what the reality is. Why? Partly because there's probably money involved. When you listen to the videos I'm going to be citing here in a moment, if you get there, you'll listen to everyone's got their hand out for this. In fact, they're not acting unless there's some grant money somewhere or some investment that can be made, that some profit can be made down the road, and they're all working to enhance that capacity. Pfizer Moderna vaccines possibly linked to rare heart inflammation, European drug regulator says. The European Medicines Agency, EMA, warned Friday that COVID-19 vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna are possibly linked to rare heart inflammation conditions, but emphasized that the benefits of being vaccinated continue to outweigh the risks. Is a fraud. It's a fraudulent statement. It's an admission that that's going on. They said that was going to happen before. The video links you'll get here in a future, the people who have been doing the research behind the scenes for the whole time, essentially, that this has been going on, from a different angle as to why they were even involved, are explaining that this is the reality, not the thing that is possible, but the actual thing that's being denied here. The EMA said that the heart conditions, myocarditis and the pericarditis, must now be listed as side effects of two mRNA vaccines following an analysis of over 300 cases found in vaccinated individual. Do you want to be one of those people, folks? You are the guinea pig. There's no other statement. But worse, this is a bioweapon. When you see the planning, the plotting and the planning, and the organized integration that I think Dr. David Martin will explain, document after document proving this out. When you see this integrated plotting and planning, this is beyond, folks. This is not just some common cold. It was never planned to be. That was the cover the whole time. And you've watched the whole point about shifting the goalposts and the shifting sand of where they stand, all by the same players, all defended by one organization, is quite astonishing to see unfold now over this time. How the COVID jab paved the way for a promising new HIV vaccine trial. And I found this title interesting. They're now promoting, I told you this was about HIV, so-called HIV treatment. It comes from 1984 with Fauci. It comes from HIV. That was all made up, just like all this stuff is made up. It's for profit. People have property interests and patents and other things and capacities. And you find in one of the stories that David Martin's talking about, how one company didn't have the technology they need to do the lipid capsule that they had to negotiate right before they had to negotiate with the company that did have the right. And they came to an agreement. This story we've got used to reading about vaccine trials, following their progress, hearing the results, and watching the rollout of said vaccines. I am, of course, talking about COVID vaccines, says the author. What we are perhaps not quite familiar with are the HIV vaccine trials. It won't be a surprise to anyone that there have been hundreds of vaccine trials so far. None have been successful. Referencing HIV for COVID is quite, well, unastonishing, unspectacular here. I told you that's what it was all about. Also, it's also oncological treatments. It's for cancer treatments that they're doing. This report wants to say, how did it pave the way for a promising HIV vaccine? It didn't. There is no promising HIV. They are jabdemic creators. They are essentially giving you AIDS. They're reducing your immune system, your immunological response. They're inhibiting its ability. It paved the way, not like this article says, which I'll give to you to read, so you can read it, to get the perspective of it. It paved the way because it found out that more than half the population would accept it without a test, without the rigorous tests that we think are done normally, that most doctors would agree are better rigorous tests than what they're given to this and not experimental. It paved the way because it allowed fraud to displace actual care, actual substances that stop the condition and not enhance it or prolong it or bring you susceptible to it. The title was trying to convey that the COVID jab paved the way. It doesn't say vaccine there, does it? But it does say vaccine for HIV. None are successful. They won't be. This is about profit. This is about putting people into servitude forever, endlessly. And they have endless fears they can bring on you, because when you start looking at what they're attacking in the body, all and every comorbidity or weakness in your body, and your weaknesses are not the guy or gal next to you, can be exploited as a disease in the world. And when you find out the percentages of people that have these things in them, it's a phenomenal number of people, for classes from which they can move from groups and groups of people, because people generally have these things in them as high as 30% of the population. That's a fair number of people to play games with the numbers, to get people afraid that that's what's going on. So I told you HIV, COVID-19, all this technology was based upon trying to promote the fallen HIV narrative. And here's the story. They're trying to say that COVID-19 mRNA paved the way for an HIV vaccine. In fact, it was fraud and fraud-chi that has done so since 1984. And so, moving into the hacking of this system, the youth is wonderful. I hate to even use the word. The youngsters, your youngins, are wonderful. And they do it for their own gain, their own greed, folks. Defeats all the technology of the scientists and the medicine men. UK pupils use orange juice to fake positive COVID test results. Oh, man. I just think, in reminiscing, folks, of what we did in chemistry class, not to fake a COVID test, but to just see what would come. What if we did this and this? Making alcohol was a very interesting one class in chemistry class. But at any rate, school children have discovered that applying orange juice to a COVID lateral flow test, that's the pregnancy test for COVID I explained to you a long time ago, can generate a fake positive result. Now, why in God's name, not taken in vain, would you want to make a positive test? Well, these greedy people in school want a positive, because guess what? When they throw a positive, they get to go home for 2 weeks. They don't get to go to school. These little hacking geniuses thwarting the relied upon test. Oh, wait a minute. The FDA said you can't test it. You can't use it for immunity. Oh, that's right. Oh, the relied upon test can be thwarted not by a papaya, not by a goat, not by anything else but orange juice, even a Coca-Cola. How about some ketchup with them fries? Get you a ticket for 2 weeks to home. And these students figured that out. Bravo. Bravo, bravo, bravo. I don't like that you're not going to, well, I like you not going to school if you got something to go to at home and it's homeschool. But see, even the youngins know how to manipulate the system. And they exposed master manipulators by manipulating the lateral flow test, the pregnancy test, essentially. Did your rabbit die? Well, apparently, orange juice can be mimic the rabbit dying relative to the symptoms of the common cold, and showing not only can the system be hacked, it also can be exploited, and someone else is really to pick up the profit. Now, it's not billions destroying trillions, but it's 2 weeks of students not having to endure the psychological abuse in normal school. I thought it was pretty brilliant. Whether they look at it that way or not, I don't know. So, lateral flow test, kind of like that drug test you got for a job, isn't it? If you drank just the right herbs right before, you could actually pass that test. Now, we're going to get to some of the substance of what I've been talking about today, getting to the videos, getting to information. It's just the information that you should take and learn to get the leads on to show and give to you the proof, the foundation from which you will start hopefully defending yourself as they come door to door. I got to get here to get to that because that's the closure of this thing. Like I've been telling you, they're coming to your door. It's happening, folks. It blows me away. Like I said, there's a little guy looking at what's going on. How could you figure that out all that time ago? A manufactured illusion. Dr. David Martin and Reiner Fuhlmich. That's that attorney that's doing that international stuff and trying to get to 10,000 attorneys to kind of look at this COVID nonsense as the fraud that it is. I commend them for doing it. I'm just wondering what's taking them so long. But if you listen to what they're collecting up the information, they're still in dismay. They're still pulling stuff together to, it's just like you can't believe how horrendous this thing we've endured is and how well organized it is and how well planned and how much money's being made and how they're deceiving everything, everybody. And how dangerous what they're doing is. It's just mind-boggling to people. So in some regard, the delay, I can get that. But on the other hand, a guy behind a woodshed could figure this out over a year ago. Well over a year ago. Before it got started, folks. Because you're going to hear in this statement, a manufactured illusion in an interview, almost like a deposition, even though it's not legally done. He references, Dr. David Martin references when he was involved before 2000. At 2001, and then he references the anthrax scare, which was what? It was all part of the big polygon, terror polygon of 2011, right? All that I told you would be the part starting reference, which was hindsight, Operation Hindsight 2020 in 2020. Dr. David Martin ties it back again to there, as I told you, it was going to be 2020, so the locking down, and they did, they lock you down, the locking down of what they started in the world in 2001. And so there's some points about this video that I want to point you to. All of it is important. You need to read, listen for the context. Dr. David Mark goes through all the documents. You need to track them down. There's somewhere there's going to be available. I don't have that time. Some of you might be interested to see how you're being done. I think it's important to understand because there's elements in here which you can use in order to, like I said, once you learn the battlefield, you learn where the mines are. You only choose the line that gets you around the mines. You don't have to describe the total battlefield. Your objective is get through the minefield alive, if you will. That's a narrow path, and it's a certain path. And that's when you know the battlefield, you don't talk about the rest of it more than just the path you're on. Why I've reduced some of these, when I told you about getting to the letter you need to write, let's go with what the court said. Let's go for the result. Let's not try to explain what the statutes were supposed to do in the numbers of steps. Let's just ask if they have the result for each one of us. because that result is really what they're supposed to act on. And if they don't have a result for you, they don't have jurisdiction, and anything they impose upon you is a crime. This video, A Manufactured Illusion, I don't start writing my notes until maybe almost an hour in, as I'm listening to all the information that's setting the context. But I want to point to a number of things in the article. You can listen to me on the audio here, and then follow with me in the past cast, to go through and find some of these. Just as a highlight, I found interest to me, if no one else, that you should find interest to. And where at 47 minutes in about, and these are all approximate, I don't know what your player is going to actually show. The quote is made by, I think it's Dr. David Martin, and these are known to be harmful spike proteins. And understand, he's laying out paperwork to be able, he lays his foundation before he makes a statement. And so this is like look at the example. It's pretty straightforward. Is it evidence? And then there's an assertion of what that means. Now, the evidence is, if you will, self-evident. When you hear what the evidence they have is, you have to come to an immediate conclusion. It almost becomes a joke, and they talk about this. It would be a joke if this wasn't really criminal. But understand, this is known to be harmful spike protein. What's important about that? It's consistent with the statement of the developer of the mRNA as an ethicist looking at this working with the military. But they're known to be harmful, and there's an ethical problem with just installing them beyond a military need into the society. He references, with I don't have a timestamp, but you'll see right after 47 minutes, HIV vaccine for Fauci, which he tried to get, was declared by the patent office to not be known to prevent infection. And the patent is denied. What's important about that? That was the definition of vaccine. A vaccine is to prevent the infection, not give Norwegians COVID-19. So his HIV vaccine was denied. Fauci's private patent application, denied. What he's doing doesn't work. 50 minutes in, being injected with, quote, a pathogen stimulating computer sequence. We're dealing with a patented process to create a pathogen stimulating a computer sequence. This is stated, if you will, because I don't know the statements here. That's what they claim this is doing in the patent applications. And this is what's very interesting, too. He goes through the patent applications to show all of this is not novel relative to the body of knowledge and science. It's been known since before 2000. His knowledge is looking into the economic side of this as a different consultant. That the business that he was involved in, he was involved looking at this since 1999. But I know they were doing this since well before that as well. But for his information here, going to 1 hour and 14 minutes, the quote, you need to create the illusion of demand. And there's nothing right now that does a better job of creating the illusion of demand than the urgency of an event that you've manufactured. His conclusion about how, you know, why they're doing this off, how they're pulling this off, is again the illusion. It's perception management, driving the herd to take a thing that had they been disclosed that all this criminality was involved, all the interlocking problems were involved, that there was really more of a story going on, a myth, that you would not have engaged it. This is high-level perception management that Edward Bernays would probably give a gold star to. Going to 1:14:30 of this interview, called A Manufactured Illusion, 1:14:30 seconds. It's been easy to track this campaign of coercion and terror because it's been done before. And this is where he relates back to the anthrax outbreak relative to 9/11. And so this is an integrated package and attack against the people. And it's integrated into the 9/11, as I told you, I explained would be Operation Hindsight 2020. Did the population actually see the trick to stop the next iteration, which is going to be worse? He also, for those of you that want to, he calls it the phone book. He called it MCAM's Toxins Report. It's an intelligence briefing, if you can track it down. He says it's available. It's the who's who and their phone numbers, if you will, of who all is involved. It's a small phone book of stuff to understand how integrated this whole thing is. Not opinion. He shows you the documentation, and I think that's very important for people to get beyond the generic, general type of stuff that I see on the internet, even to the point of me giving you a link to a video. The video's irrelevant. Go to the documents from the government. I'm not sending you to the link to listen to the guy talk about how many billions are going to die. I don't know about that, but there's a state government, there's a government document that explains a couple things, and it leads to another state document. The words of the people that are hurting you, the admissions of the crimes against you. The falling away from the imposition is important here, and then we need to go find out why. Each one of us should know why. Because that's going to come in how you're going to present yourself or against an encroachment as they're coming to our door to knock on it. 11630, quote, it wasn't hard to figure out that this was not a public health crisis. This was an opportunistic marketing campaign to address a stated objection. They, the perpetrators, in his discussion, are the ones that said it, referring to their own statements here, folks. They said they needed to get the public to accept a pan-coronavirus vaccine countermeasure, and they needed the media to create the hype, and the investors would follow where they see profit. Not sure if I reported on that. I've read that story. I know it exists. That's exactly the statement that they made, and that's what this whole thing was. Exactly what Dr. David Martin states in their documents. He doesn't say this out of opinion. He also goes on to say that you don't need anything else to rely on to explain the events of the last 20 months than the actual statement of the actual perpetrators. Why can't we do that as a society? At 1 hour and 18 minutes, 38 seconds, Reiner Fuhlmich comes in to say in response, and this leads us to the Bar Association, even though he's a member, he's interested that there's a problem. He goes, because he was searching out for somebody to research the patent problems that Dr. David Martin was talking about. And his statement relative to that was, I was trying to find patent lawyers who might be interested in the case. And then he goes on to say that no one willing in the context of the corona There was no one willing in the context of Corona to tackle the problem. So even he, as an attorney, is flabbergasted that there's no one that specializes in patent that would even address the Corona problem. Why is that? Why is that? I just don't have an answer to that when you're realizing people are dying around this thing. But you know what? You know what the real problem ends up being? It's, again, the foible of people. Because right after that, in almost as an interjection, Wolfgang Wadarg, he's a former member of the Brudenstag from 1994 to 2009, he makes the statement that essentially, paraphrased, that 10 years ago, no lawyers would touch the matter then for fear of losing essentially their possession, their profession, their ability to be lawyers. They would be attacked by the system itself. And so there is your organized criminal syndicate. There is your mafia. And the people that are involved in that mafia are cowed by the very system that professes to be justice. And apparently there's nobody to check, be a check and a balance for that. And that's part of what the exploitation is, another exploitation going on against you when you don't step up. moving this, moving on over, moving it from what they talked in that interview, that is a RICO condition. It's a racketeering influence corrupt organization operation globally. It's astonishing, folks, the scale of this. We have another video I want to give provide to you, a link, that says proof that puts an end to the SARS-CoV-2 narrative by Professor Sukrit Bhakdi. And he'll go on to tell you and explain the two reports. I also have links for you that I got, I received. I don't know if I think I got it from him, the link on the poster of the poster of the video, or I maybe tracked them down. But you have the links. Now, what Dr. Bhakdi states is the two studies expose that people that were given vaccines, when they were checking the immune side, not the FDA test that said that the FDA said the test that the FDA said doesn't work, but when you actually look at the immune response, the IgM or the IgG or whatever, IgA response, he'll explain to you, and you just listen, watch it for yourself, how he explains it so you get a feel for what this is going on. Let me put the other side. He says, if you had no response to it because your body had no immune sense of it being attacked, it would take a lot longer for the body to go and find the means to attack the invader than what they found when people were given an injection with the vaccine. That when they were given an injection with the vaccine, their immune system kicked in with, was done identifying and attacking it within days, if not hours, proving that the people have seen this before. Their bodies have seen it before and can respond. It's not new. It's not novel. It is novel what they're making, but what the body sees as a coronavirus and even the variants they believe that they have, the body is already responding to it, correlating with the fact that there's nothing that will help someone who's already seen the what? Not the COVID-19 symptoms, but coronavirus generally. COVID. You now have a professor who will show you the studies and explain this two studies that check that we have an immediate response to an insult that has a COVID identity. And therefore, there is no one out there that hasn't. Everyone has seen the common cold. And there is no really real need for certainly a jabdemic or even a vaccine. Your system is already able to fight it. What you're seeing is the amplification early on of comorbidities and the mistreatment of those people to their death. Under the narrative and story, the fairy tale, the horror show, the horror tale that was fabricated and plotted and planned since before even 9/11 in one regard, but used in the same context of the control structure they needed after 2020. The reports are named as SARS-CoV-2 elicits robust adaptive immune response regardless of disease severity. You've got an immune system, folks. As I've been saying here, it will fight it. Now, whether or not you have comorbidities or whether your body is an overachiever and causes the problem, that's really more the problem, is another question. But everyone responds, if you listen to that title, everyone responds robustly and adaptively. You have an immune system that learns and teaches itself and remembers. You don't need what they've been pushing. No drug pushers. And here was the letters I couldn't come to my mind. They call human. Human IgG and IgA responses to COVID-19 mRNA vaccine is the other report. They looked at your immune system's response, the ones that are doing the immunity, and they said that they got fired up immediately as soon as the insult hits, which would not happen if it was actually novel and you'd never seen it before. What they're actually discussing is that we as people have had common cold for a long time, if not forever. The little beasties in the world, we come into balance with their needs in the world too. And so that's where we live. And these man-made novelties go and attack us. Why? Why do we know that? Because the military is using gain-of-function techniques to find something that everybody has that they can exploit for the purposes of military gain, another type of gain. So here's your two reports. Explain that we have an immune system that sees whatever they're trying to do in the vaccine. Your body's already defending itself. What the news was is the sensationalization and the focusing on some people and then the mistreatment to make it worse. And everybody just fell for the dupe. Another report here that I'm a little bit dubious of myself, but we got to talk about it. Again, here's some information we can research on down. And there's a plausible fork in the road for the so-called scientists, which is partly more the danger of this report, this story, than I think even the story. Because you and I, if you've listened to me, and I haven't seen anybody come back with more, the ingredients were, we finally found out the ingredients that were in it. What I'll say here, and jumping to a little bit of the point, that they're talking about something in these vaccines that I haven't seen listed, and it's graphene oxide. They're claiming that Spanish scientists have identified graphene oxide in the vaccine materials. And they did a number of tests and things, and it sounds like a legitimate test. My problem is, I didn't see the test. It's in a foreign language, and so I have to rely a bit that it exists. Your mission, if you wish to find out more, is to see if they're now including off-label stuff, because these are all experimental anyway. It's possible if graphene oxide is included. The problem with graphene oxide, and you'll see the report, it's a video, breaking discovery, the actual contents inside Pfizer vials exposed. My limit to you is that I don't know the veracity of the report, good or bad. I don't know what, I don't have any understanding about it whatsoever. Going on the lead, just looking at what graphene toxicity is, most articles speak to graphene oxide. That is a form of graphene. But the stories you'll see, and here's where the fork in the road is, graphene toxicity, even if this is in there, graphene toxicity as a double-edged sword of risks and exploitable opportunities, a critical analysis of the most recent trends and developments is the forked road. The risks and exploitable opportunities was the fact that if you look again in the next story I give to you, graphene oxide, and there's many forms of this, but graphene oxide, it's a two-dimensional structure. It's, if you go to compression, if you do the solar hydrogen, metallic hydrogen forms itself into the structure as graphene is carbon in a two-dimensional structure, honeycombed by its connections to the carbon. Very interesting. It's a very newer type material. But it can be toxic. Graphene oxide, other stories, may be toxic. Kills bacteria. Now, when you, this is important. Here's that risk-benefit problem that you always get into. I've explained to you how that works. The double-edged sword is that they're going to look at this. If it is in there, that maybe it kills bacteria. What's important about this is when you listen to the professor, he tells you that when they inject you with this jabdemic stuff, it creates a situation in your blood vessels where it makes it, the body, this thing turns into looking like a bacteria, which the body attacks. And the body attacks it then as a bacteria, which is actually attacking the cells, your cells. And it eats away at your cells. It causes a lot of these problems they're seeing. And so this gives some credibility that if graphene oxide is involved, and it goes after and kills bacteria, it's actually kind of causing the problem it's actually going after. Another thing to consider in this experiment, in this novel construction of someone creating the disaster that they want to fix, and they have the solution for it, and you're the victim of it. Going on to all these ramifications of what the government does based on all this fraud, and it's now shown, and we've talked about this before, you're going to see the studies coming out. Shelter-in-place orders didn't save lives during the pandemic, research paper concludes. Well, why would it? It was a fake story, first of all. A little-noticed study says the government orders to shelter-in-place during COVID-19 fight did not save lives and spurred an uptick in excess deaths in some places especially overseas. All predicted, folks. All obvious at the time, at least behind the, to the guy behind the woodshed. I hope you were with me then, and I hope you're with me now to remember that. They did that, and they violated all the principles of what, folks? What would have stopped all that? If anyone would have just asserted the law and had it enforced, none of this could have been happened. They couldn't do a shelter in place through the communicable disease codes of the state of the government. Every government has a rule of law and democracy has a, identical, it seems, stated slightly different here and there, but essentially the same. They couldn't do this to society. They could only do it when people were willing and don't start to have that better, that protect themselves. And because of the vastness of the conspiracy against us, the organized criminal syndicate that Dr. David Martin has the goods on, has all the paperwork from the beginning, if not before, to show you it's not a fiction. As astonishing as it is to me to think, how did they pull this off? They did. They are imposing these things that are killing you, and we're not being protective of ourselves as a society that I told you early on. This is our day. We're on the right side of history to use this to pivot. You want to do the pivot to China? No, we're going to be pivoting to being free from all of this nonsense if we just would. Because I told you they were also coming to your door. Biden administration launching door-to-door push to vaccinate Americans sparks major backlash. I don't think so. I'm hoping so. Biden administration is launching a new door-to-door effort to vaccinate Americans after falling short on its 4th of July goal for having 70% of the adult population with at least one shot of coronavirus vaccine. Can I remind you of the last hour I've been talking or more about all the harm and all the lack of thing in the storytelling that this guy is trying to push a door-to-door senseless attack at your doorstep that you're going to need more because the recent report is the script is they're going to go by their script. They're not going to care about you saying no solicitors, no trespassing. They don't care. Biden administration creates vaccine hesitancy map to help activists target vaccine skeptics door to door. Do you think Google might be helping on this and any other track and trace deception that's been going on around this? Biden, a federal authority, is violating local law to insert upon themselves without medical experience, without medical knowledge about you, without a medical relationship, without a medical license, to come and suggest some treatment that's going to harm you. That's an experiment. That's outside of the federal jurisdiction on top of that. I'm hoping I'm giving you some things to think about that you put in your short list when they come knocking on your door and how they're criminals. They're organized racketeers, the agents of a organized racketeering situation. But we hear the Arizona governor stepping up, supposedly, the attorney general, alarmed by Biden's door-to-door vaccination push. My question is, where was he when the door-to-door lockdown happened in Arizona under the fraud? Where was he then that he's going to push back now? It is where the Bar Association members are. And you in New Zealand now, we also see a New Zealand minister for C-19 response, Chris Hipkins. We will be chasing after people who aren't vaccinated if you think rule of law and democracy is going to be anywhere to help anybody. And that they're going to be stalkers after you. And the way you're going to be able to stop this is, as I've been suggesting, relying on the communicable disease code to show that you are not an infectious agent and you're not a risk to the public officially. Grimner, thank you for what you do at RealLibertyMedia.com and all the syndicators and anybody keeping track and spreading the word. I appreciate that. I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs are nature willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
open up a can of whoop-ass, feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.